Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you would. 1 Thessalonians 5, that's page 958 in your Red Pew Bibles. I want to encourage you to read along as we're going to finish up this letter to the Thessalonians here. These final instructions Paul has for these people. Good things that he just wants them to remember as they live their life, and good things for us as well. And we'll kind of make a connection on this Palm Sunday. I'm going to start in verse 12, and I need to pray before we jump in, just because. Father, I thank you for I thank you for this church, and that you set up the church as a way to get your word out into the world and to just help us to do life. And you've ordained this time that we meet together every week and we sing about you. And then also the scripture says that we're to come together and open up your word and to hear your proclamation to us. And so, Lord, we're getting ready to do that. And I pray that as your spirit moves among us, that your spirit would convict us from things that aren't right, or from being on the wrong path to being on your path and doing what you want us to do. That is our aim here, that you would draw us to yourself. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 12. Here's what Paul says. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. And may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. And I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The verse that kind of jumped out at me was verse 23. And Paul says, may God himself, the God of peace, may he sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. He talks about the God of peace. That God will bring this spirit of peace to the Thessalonians. Because remember, they're going through difficult trials. They are being persecuted for their faith. They've turned away from idols and they've turned to Jesus. And so Paul is praying for their holiness, that they would live holy and blameless lives, and that as a result of that, God will, the God of peace, will give them peace during this time of trial and persecution that they're going through. A couple weeks ago, I was going to watch a video on YouTube, and you know, if you've done that, then there are these ads that pop up that you have to watch. I started watching this one ad, and this guy with speaking with some authority, but yet speaking with a little bit of cynicism, you know, and he was saying, you know, you probably heard that fiber was good for you, but it's not. It's kind of like, whoa, wait a minute. I mean, you know, that's one of the things you're supposed to have. And here's this guy with some authority telling me that it's not, right? And so he kind of hooked me, Right? All right. So I keep watching, and it kind of sucked me in, and I followed the video somewhere else. And then it's like, you know, you want to fast forward through that video, and they won't let you fast forward. You pretty much have to watch the whole thing, right? And so, you know, it's just like these ads on the internet. They kind of hook you like that. They're telling you all the time, hey, you think this is good? Don't eat that. Eat this instead. You know, you do this all the time. Don't do that. Do this instead. They're constantly telling us things like that, of ways to improve our life. And of course, in parentheses, it's so we can make some money, right? That's always the bottom line. In our scripture today, I think Paul is like one of those guys. I imagine Paul is one of those guys, albeit a little more trustworthy, okay? And Paul is saying, listen, this is what I exactly want you to do. Okay, this is what I want you to do to help get peace into your life. Here are four actions, Paul is telling us, that you, if you're a follower of Jesus, four actions that you should be doing all the time. Paul is just kind of yelling that out there. And the first one is this, and that is striving to be like Jesus. Striving to be like Jesus. He says in verse 15, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Now, those of you who know me, you know, if you know my personality, I'm not necessarily a striver, okay? I'm more of a sit back sort of guy. You know, and just take this look and take away things, you know, see how they come. In fact, Brother Ken, he kind of makes fun of me because of that. And he said, man, you are the most laid-back pastor that I know. You know, calm, cool, collected, you know, and that's kind of my personality. I just kind of, you know, I'm not a real go-getter. I just kind of sit back and I let things happen, kind of watch in my mind what the Spirit's doing, and then I'll kind of jump in, you know. But there are people like that. There are people who are strivers, who are goal setters and go-getters and striving for something, whether it's power or authority or a position, or striving for people to like them, or striving for money. And the whole idea, a lot of times people strive because they want peace in their life. You know, they want that satisfaction. And I think what Paul is saying here is, listen, if you're going to strive for something, strive to do what is good. Now, I think this is really interesting here, because it's what Paul doesn't say. He just doesn't say, hey, good people, Thessaloniki, be good. Just be good people. Do what's right, okay? Which is what we generally would say. Paul says, no, strive to do what is good. And so we're thinking about striving. It's to earnestly seek after and to pursue. It's like Paul saying, man, I want you to be on a mission to do what is good. Now, most of us, when we think about doing what is good, we don't think to be on a mission to do what is good. But it's almost like Paul knows that this is a challenge for us. Because a lot of us, sometimes just doing good is, it's like getting out of bed on a cold morning. Like, how many of you, like this morning, it was cold, it was in the 20s this morning. A lot of you are just kind of like, I think I'll just stay in here, turn the radio on, turn the TV on, you know, and it's almost like you have to get up that extra energy to get out. And so I think this is a warning for Paul. Here's the warning, is that we can just settle into our own snug little lives, okay? And we can be satisfied with the way that we are in our homes, and we just sit back and watch TV and only just take care about ourselves. And we can live a pretty good life doing that. We can live a pretty good life of just sitting at home and not sinning, right? But Paul's reminding us, I don't want you to do that. I want you to strive to do good for each other, for other and everyone else, he said. Think about Jesus for a minute. When Jesus, he came to earth, he didn't just come to earth and go to the cross and was crucified and died and then was resurrected, he came to show other people how to live. Jesus was constantly doing good for other people. He was healing people, teaching them about God, listening to others, striving to do good for other people. And then Jesus told his disciples and to us, follow me. And so we are to adopt his character as well. The Bible says that one of the main reasons why Jesus came to earth, Jesus says, I have came so that I can serve other people. And part of Jesus' character, this is important to know, part of Jesus' character is not just he walked around being holy and didn't sin, right? He just didn't sin. He cared for other people. And so for us, similarly, Paul is saying, hey, listen, it's not just simply enough to say, I like Jesus, I want to be on his side. We must strive to be like Jesus and take on his character. And that's where it takes work. That's where it takes work. That's where we have to strive, because we're naturally, we're just thinking about ourselves. And that's why I tell you over and over and over, in order to help us to do this, is to read more about Jesus, right? Get out the Gospels and just read about Jesus. And then when we read about Jesus, then we become more like him, okay? But we strive to do that. First thing Paul says. Second thing he says that every Christian should be doing is living with a spirit of joy. Notice what he says in verse 16. Rejoice always. Rejoice always, he says. I remember when I was young, the first house that we lived in, we lived right next to a barber shop. And every time I go in and get my hair cut, barber had a little sign there that said, keep smiling. It makes people wonder what you're up to, right? And if you think about it, a Christian with a joyful spirit is a wonderful testimony in the world that we live in, because people start wondering, why are you always so joyful, right? Why are you always in a good mood? Now, in the past, we've had people that have sat in these pews, I swear, some of the sourest people I ever knew in my life. I mean, in some cases, very curmudgeonly, but not always just limited to old people. Okay? No, I mean, I'm serious. And there was always like people just there, and you look at them and they were just ready to complain about something. The music, the pastor walked right by me. He didn't even say hello. True story, right? Or people that you can just tell they're just angry at the world. You could mention Joe Biden, or Trump or something, and they just go crazy because it's they're just so angry. And my contention is this. Listen, if you can't be joyful in this place on a Sunday morning, right? I mean, really. Now, listen, I will say this with a caveat. I know life is hard. Often life is a struggle, and there is grief and there is pain, and that there is loss. And we can't be happy all the time. We're not told to be happy. Happiness is based on circumstances. Joy is something deep down inside. Okay? Joy is something deep down inside that is not based on the circumstances. And that's the amazing thing. We've been looking at the Apostle Paul, and especially in those of you who have been in Bible study during the week, the Apostle Paul, as we know him, he never seems to complain. He never complains. I mean, there's a guy that's getting beaten all the time, getting run out of town, starving, been thrown in jail, and he just seems to roll with it. It's like, well, okay, all right. And you know why? It's because he's living with a spirit of joy in his life. He knows that he's a part of a bigger picture that God has. He knows Jesus. And he knows Jesus defeated the enemy that we're all afraid of a little bit, and that's death. And so he knows that death has been defeated because of Jesus Christ, and he knows that there is an afterlife that he will be a part of, that he'll just kind of walk through that doorway one day, and he'll end up having a new body. But until then, Paul knows that God is always with him. always with him. And when you understand that, it changes your outlook on life. It really does. So you can have that joy deep down inside. And so Paul is telling the readers, listen, if you want to experience this peace of God, you need to make a choice of living with a spirit of joy and looking beyond your current circumstances, whatever they may be, health issues, financial issues, political issues, work and family issues. And you acknowledge that God's in control. Jesus has been resurrected and death has been defeated. And so I move forward. Live with a spirit of joy all the time is what Paul says. And then he says that every follower of Jesus should be doing all the time is number three, talking with God. Verse 17, he says, pray continually. Pray continually. Now, let me make it easier for you. That is not this formal time where you have to fold your hands and bow your head and close your eyes. It's not just counted as prayer. Prayer is communication with God. Okay? Communication with God. And so it's verbal and it's nonverbal. Okay? There's things that we can just thinking about God and just pondering God and questioning God and doubting God. And so prayer is talking to God, but it's also listening to God. I told him I was going to share this. Brother Chip just shared with me this morning. He says, man, let me show you something that I've been doing that kind of helps me calm down. And while I do this, while I pray. Chip, you have it with you? Just hold it up so everybody can see. Chip has a coloring book, an adult coloring book. Now, years ago, I would look at stuff like that, and I would go, all right. But over time, I realized that people use different things to calm down and to calm their spirit. And so Chip is giving me testimonies more. And I ask him about this, and so we're cool. I'm not putting him on the spot. He said, I color for a little bit. And it calms me down. And then I have a conversation with God. And I think about things. And then I color a little bit more. And I'm like, yes. That's part of praying all the time. Right? Now, the coloring may not be your thing. And that's fine. But find out whatever that thing is that you can do. It could be you're doing a craft or something. Right? And you have a conversation with God. Remember last week we talked about the importance of awareness. Awareness that God is always with us. That God loves us. That God cares for us. Just that, have that awareness all the time. Okay? That's part of praying continually that Paul talks about here. Now here's the problem that we run into with this. Is that our lives are filled with so much noise that it becomes hard to communicate with God. Okay? Now, this past week, Ken and I, we met to have a discussion about Easter week plans, and I got there early before him, and so I just told the waitress, I said, listen, I need a booth in the corner, away from people, because we're going to have a discussion, and I'm deaf. Okay, I want to be able to hear what we're talking about. And so we got stuck in a corner, and it was perfect, right? Because one of my pet peeves is to be in a restaurant where there's just noise everywhere and acoustics are bad. Bottom line is we live in a very, very noisy culture. You haven't noticed we're constantly getting bombarded by, we watch the news, we listen to the radio, we get on the internet, and we just have it all the time. And the news is usually bad. And then that makes us sad. And so we hear all this stuff, and it's noise. And this is going on. And so there's just noise, there's noise in our minds just about a culture and stuff that's going on because it's always there. And not to mention, we bring our own noise into the mix, right? I'm not going to ask for a survey, but how many of us, when we get up in the morning, we turn the radio or TV on? the first thing we do. Right? I turn the radio on, usually. Okay? We get in the car, we turn the radio on. We're constantly listening. Now we got earbuds. So we can block out the world and we can listen to what we're listening. You know, I find it amazing that the older people, older generation, will rip the younger people. Look at them. They've always got their headphones on, stuff hanging out of their ears. Look at that. That's all they do. That's all they do. And then a lot of times when I go visit older people, what's on all day? The TV. The TV is on all day long. Noise. We just get used to it. We just get used to it. It becomes background noise. Right? And we need to recapture times of silence and times of stillness. And so resist that. It becomes a habit. It's a habit. Get up, turn TV on. Maybe not turn it on as much. Maybe just have times where you watch TV or times when you turn the radio, take a drive. Let's not put the radio on. Always busy. Some of that we get used to. There's people I know that are always busy, always have to be doing something, okay? And sometimes, listen, that's not an issue with me. You never have to tell me to go to the corner, grab a book, and just sit, okay? But sometimes if you're busy, and I know it's people's personality, if that's fine, then do it with an idea of having a conversation with God, okay? We bring God into that. And so live with awareness with God and have a conversation with him. Here's why. Because God has so many good things that he wants to tell you. I mean, God is the master encourager. And when we sit still long enough that we can hear God speak to us, it's going to be good stuff, okay? And if we start feeling guilty, then okay. And we can. Okay, because, I shouldn't have did that. So that's why you don't want to be quiet, because we remember how rotten we are. And so if you feel like you're rotten, then just confess. Say, God, I did something stupid. Lift it up to God. And God says, it's out of here. Jesus took care of it. Let's hang out. Okay, that's how you handle stuff like that. But go back to having time of just talking with God. That's why Paul says, pray continually. Always be in communication with this wonderful God of ours. Then the final thing he said that Christians should be doing all the time is thanking God. Verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, he said, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, what's the opposite of being thankful? That is complaining, which we are good at too. We're good at complaining, right? You know, that's the biggest knock that God had against the Hebrew people in the Old Testament. When they left Egypt, God rescued them, led them out of Egypt. They were heading to the promised land. Is that every time they hit a rough patch, every time they didn't, you know, things didn't happen the way that they should and they struggled and had an opportunity to trust God, they didn't. And you know what they did? They complained. God, why did you bring us here? God, we don't have enough to drink. And it was constant complaining and grumbling about God's guidance and his provision. They were just not grateful people. But when we have a gratitude-first mindset, it helps us with humility and just helps us to be humble. And it reminds us that the world doesn't revolve around us. Because we tend to think that. Now, not that we would never say that, that the world revolves around us. But we do, you know, when we get so busy and that we start thinking, hey, I can lead my life this way, and I start doing this, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this. And all of a sudden, we start doing that. We just start pushing God out. We're not talking with him all the time. We're doing our own thing. Oh, we know that he's there. If I need anything and I'm in a bind, I can always call him. But we start doing our own thing, and we stop being grateful. We constantly be grateful. Now, as Paul wraps up his letter, he gives them this advice and said, listen, if you do all these things, you do all these things all the time, you will experience the peace of God as you go through trials and difficulties. And I was thinking what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 combined with Palm Sunday today. It's really interesting One of the things that came to mind is the way Luke tells the story of Jesus entering into Jerusalem, riding on the colt, and people were throwing down their coats and waving palm branches and celebrating, yelling Hosanna and all of that. And there was a big parade. And Jesus is entering Jerusalem as king, as Messiah, and people were cheering him on. He knew what this was all about, and people were cheering him on. And it's like they were saying, make Jerusalem great again, Jesus. They were just having, this was so exciting. And what they look forward to is that this guy, Jesus, is going to overthrow these hated Romans and these pagan people that are just won't let us be free and we'll get our land back. This is it. It's going to happen. Then Luke writes this. In Luke chapter 19, he says this. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, Jesus wept over it. And he said, if you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. And Jesus cried for these people because they did not recognize what God was calling them to. And so they weren't going to experience peace in the way that Jesus taught them to experience peace through love and service and sacrifice. They were content to do their own thing. They had their own ideas. And they were going to follow their own path. And Jesus just knew, he just knew it was not going to work out well. It was not going to end well. It would lead to destruction. And in a generation, that's what happened with the Roman people here, as Luke records it. That the Romans came in and they leveled Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. So my question for us this morning is this. How are you looking for peace today? Just think about that. How are you looking for to calm that inner anxiety in your life? Whether that's immediate or whether it's for the future. Because people looking for peace in all kinds of different areas. Maybe for some it's financial. And I'm working towards getting enough money in the bank for my 401k. For some people it's politics. We get the right person elected. Then we'll finally have peace. For some people it's travel and leisure and pleasure. If we can just go there, that'll bring peace. For other people it's, I just want to hang out with my family. If I can just do that, that will bring peace. And both Paul and Jesus are telling us peace will only come when we strive to be like Jesus. Peace will only come when we live with a spirit of joy and have daily conversations with God and live a life where we are continually grateful. May we be different than the people of Jesus' day. May we recognize that these actions will lead to peace. And may we take steps to act accordingly. Would you bow your heads, please? I just want you to be honest here. I don't want you to just give the automatic Sunday school answer. How are you going about trying to get peace in your life? Give you the invitation, if you have never done it before, the invitation to make Jesus the boss of your life. To let him take control. And for many in here who are already followers of Jesus, perhaps Jesus is already boss, but you've kind of gone off and just in some areas of your life, you've just done your own thing. And now's a good opportunity where you can just turn your life back over to Jesus and make him boss of everything again. Father God, may we recognize and heed the words of Jesus and the Apostle Paul. May we not just be good people, but may we strive to be like Jesus. May that be our mission in life. God, may we live with a spirit of joy. We invite your spirit to be a part of us. And Lord, help us to be aware this week of your presence. And may we take advantage of that and just have a conversation with you this week that is outside of this place. And God, would you teach us to be grateful? For you have blessed us immensely. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.